الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما رب العالمين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. أما بعد، So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah continues with the consequences and the punishments of sins. And here he talks about something that he mentioned briefly before, but now he is going to explain further. When he wrote, rahimahullah, wa min 'uqubatiha annaha tunsi al-'abda nafsah. So from its consequences and its punishment of the sin, what it does to a human being, right, is that it makes him forget about himself. And if he forgets himself, he will neglect it and corrupt it and ruin it. Then, as if he, rahimahullah, predicts someone's astonishment at the fact that someone can forget about himself. فَقَالَ فَإِنْ قِيلَ كَيْفَ لَيَنْسَى الْعَبْدُ نَفْسَهُ. He says, if it were to be said or asked, how can a person forget himself? And if he forgets himself, how could he remember anything else? And what does it mean for him to forget himself? As if he is predicting that someone may be confused by the fact that a person could forget himself. And we talked about this before, if you remember. We said that no one can make you forget about yourself. In one sense, you're always thinking about yourself, right? About its needs. I'm hungry, I'm sleepy, I want to buy this, I want to go there. It's always about you. So how can someone make you forget about you? Or how could you come to forget about yourself? So in one sense, no, you can never forget about yourself. But in another, you actually do. So here, he's trying first to establish it as a fact and then explain it and for you to see its consequences. So he says, yes, na'am. He can forget himself, the greatest type of forgetting, the greatest type of forgetfulness. He says, Allah Azza wa Jal did confirm this in the Quran when he said, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Do not be like those who forgot about Allah and He made them forget about themselves. These are the sinners, the fasiqun, the ones who escape from Allah's obedience. That's what fisq is. قَالَ فَلَمَّا نَسُوا رَبَّهُمْ سُبْحَانَهُ نَسِيَهُمْ وَأَنْسَهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. He says, when they forgot about Allah, He forgot about them, and He made them forget themselves. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They forgot about Allah, so He forgot about them. So here there is kind of a cause and effect. It happens because of something. It's not just Allah Azza wa Jal haphazardly, without a reason, makes a person forget about himself. No, it's like you did something, right? You did something. And that pause brought an effect. And that effect is what? You forgot about yourself. What did you do to forget about yourself? You forget about the most important one in your life, which is more important than you, which is Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the cause of your own existence. Meaning, you are not to exist without Allah. You existed because of Allah Azza wa Jal. Either in terms of creation, that Allah made you, that's why you are here, or objective, like why were you created? It's because of Allah. So He is the essence of your existence, right? The beginning, He made you. And for what? For Him, not for anything else. So you're made by Allah for Allah, right? So He's the essence of humanity. Take the essence out, then you're completely lost. You're without a compass, without an end, without a reason, without an objective, right? So what's your purpose then? Why are you here? What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to accomplish? What is your meaning? All that gets lost. So when you lose all of this, of course you're going to lose yourself with it. Because yourself is based on Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? So قال فعاقب من نسيه عقوبتين. So if you forget about Allah Azza wa Jal, you get punished with two things. Allah forgets you and you forget yourself. قال, and now he's going to explain, what does it mean that Allah forgets you? Because someone may say, okay, can we say that Allah, that Allah forgets? He says, in one sense, that's exactly what the Arabic is using. But Allah Azza wa Jal also says in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Allah is not forgetful. So what does it mean that Allah forgets? He says, forgetting his servant means that he neglects him, lets go of him, abandons him. And if that happened, he will be ruined. And his ruin will be closer to him than his hand is to his mouth. Right? So what does it mean for Allah Azza wa Jal to forget someone? He doesn't forget him, meaning that he loses awareness of who he is or what he's doing. No, that he abandons him, lets go of him, ignores him, turns away from him. This is forgetfulness. And that is, they say in the Arabic language, nisyan is used as such. And even maybe in English, when someone is bothered by something and you say to them, forget about this. What do you mean? Let go of it, ignore it, turn away from it, right? That's what it means. Treat it as if you forgot about it. Treat it as if you actually forgot about it. So you can either forget, meaning mentally, about something, or treat it as if you forgot about it. So Allah treats them as He forgot about them. So that's the first punishment. As for them forgetting themselves, He explains, rahimahullah, He says, فَهُوَ إِنْسَاءُهُ لِحُضُوذِهَا الْعَالِيَةِ. He says, they forget about their lofty portions in this life, what they're supposed to do and earn. وَأَسْبَابُ سَعَادَتِهَا وَفَلَاحِهَا وَصَلَاحِهَا. What causes that makes it happy and successful, and what completes it. He forgets about all of this. So he doesn't even think about it, doesn't come across, does not pop into his head. And he does not remember it. He's not motivated to seek it. He does not want it. And he does not even think about it for him to even want it. So he loses awareness of it. He loses desire for it. Doesn't even think, doesn't even want, is not even motivated to pursue what benefits him. قَالَ وَأَيْضًا. And he also forgets about, or Allah makes him forget about, his own faults, his own shortcomings, his own diseases, so he cannot fix them, he cannot remove them. And also he forgets about the diseases of his heart and its pain and what he's going through. So he does not even believe or think that he should medicate himself or that he should heal and save himself from that corruption. فَهُوَ مَرِيضٌ مُثْخَنٌ بِالْمَرَضِ. He is very sickly. He's very sick, and his sickness is severe. وَمَرَضُهُ مُتَرَامٍ بِهِ إِلَى التَّلَفِ. And his sickness is gonna kill him. وَلَا يَشْعُرُ بِمَرَضِهِ. He doesn't feel that he is sick, and he does not know or does not feel like healing himself. And this is a great punishment, he's saying. And if you think about it, you'll see that humanity in general is like that. This is its diagnosis when it is far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not know what benefits it or harms it. Because how do you forget about yourself? You forget about its benefits and its harms. You don't know what is beneficial and what is harmful. And you don't know how to get to that benefit or avoid that harm. So you disagree. And you lose track. And you're confused. And you try multiple paths and they keep failing. That's what humanity is. So you look at them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you find humanity quarreling, fighting over the right path to live. Right? Even in tangible, concrete matters that are not religious, they're not about the next life, so they're absent and hidden, but about things that are experienced, that are lived, that you could test. They disagree. Economically, What type of country should we have? Look at humanity, they fight with each other within the same country. We want unrestrained capitalism. That's the best way. No, we want restraint, and we want rules, and we want equality of income or equality of standards of living. This or that, though both can be tested to try to figure out what is best, but each party believes that they know the truth, and they're willing to attack the other for it and demean them, and maybe even fight them. Should you allow abortion or not? Not even talking about it religiously. Is it beneficial or harmful? Though that is concrete and maybe you could test it. But no, you believe you know what is best. Because without Allah Azza wa Jal, it's free. You can think whatever you want. So some group says no, some group says yes, and they can attack each other. And that could end up dividing a society and a community where it could never get together again. And they allow what harms them, so they could legalize drugs and alcohol. They can legalize addiction in all types and forms, and they see nothing wrong with it. And they can disallow and ban things that are beneficial, that Allah Azza wa Jalla said are beneficial. So when you look at a society like this, and we can include in that easily Muslim societies when they stray away from Allah Azza wa Jalla, we do the same thing. So when you look at a society like that or a person like that, would you say that they are seeking their benefit and avoiding their harm? Or that Allah Azza wa Jalla made them forget about themselves? So they pursue what destroys them and they run away from what benefits them. So you see how we're confused. So it is necessary that if you forget about Allah, you start forgetting about what benefits you, and liking what harms you and hurts you, and favoring that and wanting it, and running away from what brings you peace and happiness. Well, you're confused, because the source of your guidance is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in terms of your worldly benefit, otherworldly benefit, in terms of what is wrong with you, what is wrong with your society, you're blind to all of it. You can't see it. And you pursue your own harm and you pursue your own destruction. قَالَ فَهَذَا أَعْظَمُ الْعُقُوبَةِ This is the greatest punishment. This is before other types of punishment will descend and come your way. But you just simply forget about yourself and what helps you and what harms you. Right? And even on an individual, I was talking about it in a societal, collective way, but even on an individual basis, how are you going to spend your day, spend your night? What are you going to be watching? What are you going to be purchasing? Who are your friends? What are you going to be learning? All of this, if you don't have Allah Azza wa Jal to tell you what is right and what is wrong, you're not going to know one from the other. And you will forget what is beneficial. You'll forget about your own self. You'll pursue its own harm. قَالَ فَأَيُّ عُقُوبَةٍ أَعْظَمٍ What punishment is greater than this punishment if you forget about yourself and you destroy it or you neglect it and you forget about its benefit? And he says, interestingly, and he says, if you reflect on this, you'll understand that most of creation had forgotten themselves in reality. Most of creation, أكثر الخلق. Now that in itself is a terrifying statement. We're not talking about the exception, right? Because if we're talking about the exception, you could kind of try comfort yourself by saying, well, the majority of us are fine. And I could be in the majority easily. But if the exception are those who actually know themselves and remember themselves, that's the exception, and the majority forgot about Allah, so they forgot about themselves, then there is a high risk that you could be among the majority. Right? That's what is terrifying. It says most of creation forgot about Allah, so they forgot about themselves and they neglected it. وَأَضَاعُوا حَظَّهَا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَبَعُوهَا رَخِيصًا They've squandered the portion that they have with Allah the success that they could find with Allah, and they sold their self very cheap. And now he kind of is pivoting to another point about how you sell yourself cheaply, how you undersell yourself. So he says, وَإِنَّمَا يَظْهُرُ لَهُمْ غَدًا عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ. He says, that type of transaction, that loss will only be clear or be clearest when you die. Not in the dunya, not during time of dunya, because in the dunya, and he'll talk about it, you kind of convince yourself that you're winning. Oh, I'm getting more money. I'm being promoted. I have titles. I have houses. I have cars. So you could think to yourself, oh, I am winning. There is no loss here. So that's a delusion. He says, until you arrive at a moment of death and then you lose all of this, and then you discover that whatever you were supposed to collect, you didn't, and what you collected is not yours. So the reality of this dunya will become clearest when you're about to die. So if you want to imagine something that will clarify to you the reality of the dunya, kind of remove the confusion, whatever you are seeing, imagine that moment of death and ask yourself, would this be beneficial or not? Would this be for me or against me or neutral? Then you'll understand its reality, right? It's not going to confuse you then, if you have knowledge of what you are seeing and knowledge of what Allah loves and He hates. If you have that, then you're not going to be confused. Death will illuminate. And that's one of the reasons why people should remember death more often, because you could say to yourself, if I were to die tomorrow or an hour from this, would I be doing this? And if you say no, then you should stop. I wouldn't be doing it because it's against me. It'll take me further away from Allah Azza wa Jal. So that type of transaction that you are doing with Allah Azza wa Jal, this will be manifest and clearest at time of death. وَيَظْهَرُ هَذَا كُلَّ الظُّهُورِ يَوْمَ التَّغَابُنِ. And will become most or the clearest on the day of Taghabun. That is the day of the last day. At-Taghabun, the day of transactions, where some people win and some people lose. إِذَا غُبِنْتَ, that word, غُبِنْتَ, where does it come from? It is when you sell something and you discover that you made a bad deal. You sell something, you paid too much for it, right? That's a bad deal. Or you sold it cheap and it's worth a lot more. هذا غبن. This is called غبن. That's a bad deal. So some people on the day of judgment will discover that they made the best of deals. And some people will discover on the day of judgment that the deal that they made is the worst. He says they will understand that on the day of judgment, what you sold and what you bought. And he'll talk about this. يَوْمَ يَظْهَرُ الْعَبْدُ أَنَّهُ غُبِنَ فِي الْعَقْلِ الَّذِي عَقَدَهُ لِنَفْسِهِ. He says when a person will know that he had a bad deal in the transaction that he had set from himself and the commerce in this world. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ أَحَدٍ يَتَّجِرُ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا لِآخِرَتِهِ. He says, because everyone is engaged in a transaction in this world for the sake of the Akhirah. And here, rahimahullah, he is describing here the human condition. This is everybody. Everyone in this life is engaged in a transaction, is in commerce, in business. In terms of the dunya and in terms of the akhirah. So in the terms of the dunya, when you go to work, what do you say? I'm going to give you these hours. Or I'm going to give you this product. And you're going to give me back what? Money. And they'll use that money for food and lodging and water and. That is what? A transaction. This is business. Right? So you are selling your hours. You are selling your effort. You are selling part of your life. Right? This is tijara. And you do this for the rest of your life until you can't anymore. So you sell some of yourself in return for the dunya. Everybody does this. You see, but it doesn't stop with that. That's also with the akhirah. Because you also sell some of your hours, some of your energy, some of what you're able to produce to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's how you're supposed to be. And you get back the reward, the promise of Jannah, Allah's pleasure. So you give something to Allah and He gives you back. Just like in the dunya. So if you imagine yourself giving nothing for the dunya, would the dunya give you anything back? You're not working, right? You're not studying. There's no effort. Will you get anything from the dunya? No one is going to come and hand you money, right? And even if you have wealthy parents who are willing to do this, up to a time, eventually that's going to run out. You're not going to have anybody who's coming to you and say, please take this money. So you have to sell yourself, some of your time, in order to get something. So in the akhirah it's the same thing. You're not going to get anything from the akhirah until you give some of your life to Allah Azza wa Jal. Some of your time, some of your effort, some of your attention, some of the things that you love, because for the dunya you sacrifice some of the things that you love for the dunya. Otherwise, who likes to wake up early in the morning and commute to go to work? Anyone? No. But you have to. Why? Because otherwise you're not going to get something better. So you force yourself. You force yourself, right? Do you like to study? I think most people don't, right? Do you like to take exams? I don't think most people do. Why do you do it? Because you're going to get something from it that you want more than the agony of going through that test. So you force yourself. So you understand that unless you force yourself in the dunya, you're not going to get something from it. You're not going to achieve. So now when it comes to the akhirah, you say, I'm too lazy. I'm too tired. I'm too sleepy. Right? I'm too weak. I can't. It's too hard. But if you pursue the akhirah with that attitude, you're going to get nothing or very little. It is the same pattern with the dunya. So here, this is the human condition. You look at any person alive, Muslim, non-Muslim, famous, not famous, anonymous, nobody knows about him, or everybody knows about him. Everybody is selling some of himself to get something back. The thing that distinguishes everyone from everyone else is, what is it that you are trying to sell? And what do you want back? Right? What is it that you're selling? And what is it that you want back? قَالَ فَالْخَاسِرُونَ He says, the losers are the ones who believe that they are the people of, that they're the winners who had made the greatest profit. They bought this dunya and its portion in it and its joy by selling the akhirah and their portion in it. So they wasted their pleasures in this life. They wasted their pleasures, what they could enjoy, they wasted it in this life. وَاسْتَمْتَعُوا بِهَا وَرَضُوا بِهَا They enjoyed it, they're content with that, and they're satisfied with it. And their effort was to simply get it. Meaning, you wake up in the morning, what do you want from your day? You ask yourself, what do you want from your day? I want to make more money. I want to earn this much. I want to arrive to work at time, on time, leave on time, so that my pay is not ducked, I don't lose any money. And when I come back home, I also want to focus on overtime or this or that to get more money. What is it that you want from your day? What is it that you want from your week? This is your sa'i, this is your effort, this is your toil, endeavor. So if the akhirah does not factor at all in it, then you're not pursuing the akhirah. Your transaction is simply dunya. And we're not saying on the one hand, don't work for the dunya, are we? We never suggested this. But we're saying if this is the only thing that you want, then you are of the people of the dunya. And that's the thing that makes you happy and makes you sad and motivates you or depresses you. You live for it, and you sleep for it, and you wake up for it, and you dream about it, and you plan for it. That's this. You're just living for it here. And that is a type of forgetting Allah Azza wa Jal. Because He did not create you for this world. This world is supposed to be what? A means to an end. I mean, you use it for what? To get what you can from it for Allah Azza wa Jal, so that you could eat, to pray, you fast, to be elevated, you give zakah, to be purified. You use the dunya for the akhirah. You don't forget about the akhirah for the sake of the dunya. And then when you do this, when you focus on the akhirah, you think that you're among the smartest, and the wisest, and the savviest. Because you're getting more of this world. So when he says, فَبَاعُوا وَاشْتَرُوا وَاتَّجَرُوا, they sold and they bought and they were engaged in those transactions. وَبَاعُوا آجِلًا بِعَاجِلٍ, they bought what is immediate and sold what was postponed and delayed. Meaning, they forgot about the akhirah because it's not here. I want what is here and now. وَنَسِيَةً بِنَقْدٍ, cash for delayed payment. This is, give me what I want right now. This is the cash. Forget about what is going to come later. No patience, no foresight, no wisdom to contemplate, to think about, well, everybody dies. So what does it mean that I keep collecting and collecting and collecting? Then what's the end of all of this? So there's no wisdom. There's no reflection. Just give me what I want right now. وَقَالُوا هَذَا هُوَ الْحَزْمُ, and they say to themselves, this is resolve. This is wisdom, meaning focus on the dunya. Get as much of it as you can. And if you need to shove and push and trample and step on people, do it. It doesn't matter, because if you don't do that to them, they will do that to you. If you do not lie to them, they will lie to you, and everybody else lies. So if you want to be ahead, you have to do these things. So it's completely enslaved by this world and by its pursuit. It's dominant. So he said, وَيَقُولُ أَحَدُهُمْ خُذْ مَا تَرَاهُ وَدَعْ شَيْئًا سَمِعْتَ بِهِ. He says, this is a part of a poem, a verse in it. خُذْ مَا تَرَاهُ, take or grab what you see and let go of things that you hear about. That's a very materialistic, selfish attitude. Meaning, you'll be promising me things later on. Here's the thing right in front of me. Take what you have right in front of you. Believe in what you have right in front of you. Forget about what comes later. And that, if it does not describe the attitude of life now, I don't know what else describes it. Can't wait. I must be satisfied right now. Don't tell me about what's going to happen after death. Who knows what's going to happen after death? Don't tell me about things that will happen in the future. Who knows if I were going to live to see the future? But the right here and right now, this is what I want and this is what I need, so I'm going to take it. Right? Others, like others have said, أعطني اليوم صوف. I think it could be part of a slang. أعطني اليوم صوف وخذ غدا خروف. It says, give me wool today and take the sheep tomorrow. Wool is cheap, right? Wool is very cheap. In comparison to an animal, that's expensive. But he said, I'm not going to wait tomorrow for an animal. He said, give me the wool today. And tomorrow is for tomorrow. So he says, they sold the priceless hereafter, right? For the dunya, for the measly dunya. And he continues, وَكَيْفَ أَبِيعُ حَاضِرًا نَقْدًا مُشَاهَدًا. How do I, you want me to sell or sacrifice something that I see right here and right now? Right? And again, this is kind of this materialistic attitude. بِغَائِبٍ نَسِيئَةً فِي دَارٍ أُخْرَى, with something that is delayed and hidden from me in another realm. قَالَ وَيَنْضَمُّ إِلَى ذَلِكَ. He says, and what amplifies this is the weakness of iman. وقوة داعي الشهوة, and the strength of that desire that you have for what you see right in front of you. وَمَحَبَّةُ الْعَاجِلَةِ and loving what is imminent and what is available. وَالتَّشَبُّهُ بِبَنِي الْجِنْسِ and imitating people around you. Because when you look at people, you see that all of them are doing that. All of them want to grab what they can from the dunya at this moment right now. All of them, you don't really compare people lining up to buy products versus attendance at a masjid, right? You don't see people kind of shoving themselves just to get into a masjid, but they do when there's a sale, right? Like why is that the case? Though if you're just gonna examine this by common sense, you'll understand that whatever you're gonna get from the dunya will perish. Why do you favor this more than and compete for it more than what is gonna give you eternal happiness in the akhirah? So why is that more precious than the next life? So he's saying what? He says most people behave like that. They want the dunya. So it's easier to imitate them. And add to it also weakness of faith. Add to it also the strength of the desire that you have. Add to it that you love what is available. He says all of this is a great pull towards the dunya versus the akhir. And only the wise will survive this. Right? But it's a type of forgetting Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's the main reason why people forget about Allah is because they just focus on the dunya. And they don't want anything to compete with that. Right? قَالَ فَأَكْثَرُ الْخَلْقِ فِي هَذِهِ التِّجَارَةِ الْخَاسِرَةِ He says, most of creation are part of this lost transaction or lost commerce that Allah Azza wa Jalla said about them. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ It is those who had bought this life by selling the next one. So they will have no, the punishment will not be decreased and they will not be championed. And Allah Azza wa Jalla also said, وَقَالَ فِيهِمْ أَيْضًا فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ Their transaction was not profitable and they were not guided. قَالَ فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابٌ ظَهَرَ لَهُمُ الْغَبْنُ When it is the day of judgment, they'll understand what they sold and what they bought, truly. In this life, if you're deceived and you think that you won because cut corners and you lied and you stole and you think just because you're focused on the dunya that you're smarter than other people, this is on the day of judgment when Allah will strip you of all of that and you'll stand naked without anything, bankrupt because you don't have any good deeds. And you look at people who you used to look down on because they are not as rich and not as fancy and not as, and you see that they're higher than you and they'll be saved and not you, then you'll understand terrible decisions that you made in this life. But you don't want to wait till that happens. You want to examine your choices right here and make the right ones now. قَالَ فَأَمَّا الرَّابِحُونَ As for the ones who profited, they have sold what is going to perish for something that will last and something that is cheap for something that is priceless. And they will say, مَا مِقْدَارُ هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا They'll say, how long would this world last from beginning to end? So that we will buy it and then sell what we have with Allah Azza wa Jalla in exchange. Like all of this dunya, what is it? And can it be compared to what we have with Allah Azza wa Jalla? Even if you were to live the extent of the life of this world, all of it, and no one will. Even if you were to own everything on it and in it, and you won't, but even if it has a beginning, it has an end. And all that is mixed with pain and agony and suffering and worry. But when you meet Allah Azza wa Jalla and He is finally pleased with you, you will live for eternity happy. So how can you compare this to that? So logically, right? How can you compare this to that? So why do you abandon your portion with Allah Azza wa Jalla for the sake of a dunya that is going to leave you? And it's just like a dream, he said. أَلَّذَهُوَ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ كَغَفْوَةِ حُلْمٍ As if you've nodded slept, saw a dream and then woke up. That's the dunya, that's the extent of it. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ, when he will gather them, resurrects them, and he gathered them, كَأَلَّمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا سَاعَةً مِنَ النَّهَارِ يَتَعَارَفُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ. It will be as if they've only lived in this dunya. They've only lived 1 hour of the day getting to know each other. Right? As if they've lived 1 hour in a day just getting to know each other. And he said also, subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. He says, they ask you about the day of judgment. When will it happen? فِيمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا. How would you know about that? Right? إِلَى رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا. This knowledge is with Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرُ مَنْ يَخْشَاهَا. You're simply warning those who will fear it. I mean, you have no knowledge of it and when it's going to happen, but your job is to warn people about it. كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَرْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. It's as if when they see the day of judgment, they only stayed in this world a morning or an afternoon. And also Allah Azza wa Jal also said, كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ مَا يُوعَدُونَ لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا سَاعَةً مِنْ نَهَارٍ. When they see what they have been promised, it'd be as if they've only stayed in this world 1 hour in a day. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ. They'll be asked, people will be asked on the day of judgment, how many years you spent on earth? Right? Now imagine if somebody asks you, right? Now, no matter what, how old you are, how many years have you spent on earth? You'll be able to say, right? Okay, of these years, how many years feel like years? Do they feel like years? And the more that you progress, by the way, the more that the time is going to shrink. You'll say, what, a decade? It doesn't feel like a decade. It just kind of slipped away. Slipped away. Right? I'm reminded of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. He said, مَا شَبَّهْتُ الشَّبَابَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَانَ فِيكُمْ مِي فَسَقَطْ. He said, youth is like something that I was keeping in my sleeve and then I just fell, dropped it, lost it. You know when you have something with you and you lose it and you know where it's gone? He said, that's my youth. Right? That's my youth. I had it with me and then boom, gone. Where did it go? So you lost it. So if you think that this is the foolish thinking of I'm young, I'm going to stay young. I'm not going to get old. Okay? Yeah, that's the perception now. Until you look at yourself someday in the mirror and you say, what? A decade had passed? I'm in my 20s? I'm in my 30s? I'm in my 40s? Right? That's how it happens. It happens to everybody. Right? So, this question will be posed to people on the day of judgment. كَمْ لَبِثْتُ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ. They're asking about years. Allah is asking about years. قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِّينَ. He says, we stayed for a day or part of a day. But ask those who counted. They're being asked about what? Years. The answer is in terms of what? Days. They're saying days. قَالَ إِلَّا لَبِثْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. He will say, you've only spent little if you just but know. So imagine to yourself, subhanAllah, this life that seems so overwhelming and exhausting and troubling, and imagine, you know, after you pass, after you die, and you see that life in the grave, and how, just imagine what will be seen, what will be experienced. And the length of that time. And then when you are resurrected and you see the day of judgment and everything around you in the day of judgment and how magnificent, how marvelous, how scary what you're seeing is, all of this life will seem to you like nothing. So Ibn Qayyim is saying, then why do you sacrifice Allah Azza wa Jal, who is everything, and the next life, that is everything, for the sake of something that is so small in comparison to that. This is how it's going to feel like. An hour. Like a dream. Right? Like a dream. قَالَ فَهَذِهِ حَقِيقَةُ الدُّنْيَا. This is the reality of this life. So when they knew that they're not going to stay long in it, and that they have a home other than this home. That's interesting. Where's home? Ah, that's it. Whatever home you have, whether you think about it, home is a country. You travel, I want to go back home. Or you leave your house and you say, I want to go back home. None of these things are homes. I finally bought a home. That's not your home. So your home is not here. Right? And your home is being built right now. The thing is, we don't know where. وَإِنَّ لَكَ دَارًا غَيْرَ هَذِهِ الدَّارِ. You have a home which is not this home. You have a house which is not this house. Right? So you're moving. Sooner or later you're going to move. You're going to pack and you're going to move. Right? So this is not your home. So if you get yourself ready for this, the transition becomes easier. The sacrifice becomes easier. Well, of course I'm going to move. I already know this is not permanent. Right? هي دار الحيوان هي دار البقاء. That's the lasting home, the everlasting home. They understood that it would be an incredible loss for them to sell that home for a home that is here, for a fleeting existence that is here. And they were not fooled by the other fools who do that transaction. Forget about the next life and they focus on this one. So on the day of judgment, on the day of At-Taghabun, you'll understand, and they'll understand how much they have won. وَكُلُّ أَحَدٍ فِي هَذِهِ الدَّارِ الدُّنْيَا بَائِعٌ مُشْتَرٍ مُتَّجِرٍ. SubhanAllah, it says every single person in this dunya is a seller, is a buyer, is a businessman. Everyone. Right? SubhanAllah, every single person. So you could just sit back a little bit and observe everybody in this world to learn from them. Observe everybody in this world and you say, what is he selling? What is she selling? This person is selling their voice. And this person is selling, she's selling their bodies. And this person is selling their reputation. And this person is selling their family. And this person is selling because they get money for it. This is what they're selling. And this person is selling their soul. That's why they lie. They're for hire. Whoever pays, they'll say whatever and do whatever. Right? So what are you selling? And to what end? So you are a businessman or you're a businesswoman. So how you choose to, so the next hours that remain of tonight and tomorrow, how you used to spend them, that's your currency. Right? So you have an hour. You can choose to do what? Sit and just watch videos on social media, one after the other, one after the other. And what did you get? So you sold and you got. Got nothing, or worse, sins. But if a person who says, let me read. Let me read the Quran. Let me read something Islamic, let me read something beneficial, let me exercise, let me help my parents, let me help someone, let me do some dhikr. Then that hour is different. And what you get from it is very different. So the transaction is profitable. So then you have to decide how you're spending your time, what are you selling, and what you're getting back. And he said, he's quoting here the hadith, كل الناس يغدو فبائع نفسه. Everyone in the morning goes and he sells himself. So either he frees it or destroys it. And that is a really good hadith to remember, that when you wake up in the morning, you know how people in the morning used to, they eat their breakfast, that they would carry their merchandise and they leave their house and they try to sell. They'll come back at the end of the day. I was, you know, successful today. I wasn't successful today. I was able to sell. I wasn't able to sell. He says, this is everybody, in fact. كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو. Everybody goes out in the morning selling. And either you will free yourself, honor it, elevate it, or you destroy it. Then when you think about life like that, then you'll start saying to yourself, how should I use my time? How should I use my health, my eyes, the gifts that Allah had given me? What do I want to get back from them? Something that helps or something that destroys? Something that pleases or displeases in the next life? And he quotes this ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. This is explicit in the Quran that you're in a state of transaction with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah says Allah had bought from the believers their selves and their money in exchange for Jannah. You sell this. How do you sell yourself? The ultimate sale of the self is in jihad. But it takes different forms as well. The mujahid gives himself to Allah Azza wa Jal completely and he dies. But it takes also other forms. When you do jihad by staying away from sins, you do jihad by learning talabul ilm, you do jihad by helping others, by giving part of you to Allah Azza wa Jal, that's you're selling. You're giving to Allah. And you're giving part of your money to Allah. What do you get back? He says you get back Jannah. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this description here is about jihad. He says they will fight in Allah's sake. So they will kill and be killed. And that's a promise that Allah had made upon himself. A true promise in the Torah and the Injil and the Quran. And who fulfills his promise better than Allah Azza wa Jalla? So be happy with this transaction that you have done. This is the greatest win. Be happy, rejoice with that transaction that Allah had made it possible for you, that you are actually pursuing it. So Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, فَهَذَا أَوَّلُ نَقْدٍ مِنْ ثَمَنِ هَذِهِ التِّجَارَةِ. This is the first benefit, the first consequence of this prosperous transaction. That is the happiness that Allah said, feel it, that you have pursued this path. I want to please Allah Azza wa Jal, so you rejoice because of it. And you feel contented because of it. He says, that's the first payment. The simplest payment that comes from making that choice. That you feel that you're honorable. That you were with Allah Azza wa Jal. That as long as you obey Him, the future is bright and is guaranteed. Because this is a promise that Allah Azza wa Jal had given. You just need to fulfill your part. And the rest you leave to Allah Azza wa Jal. فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا. Be happy when you give to Allah Azza wa Jal. So you give, but you're happy that you've given. Because you know that you're receiving something greater from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ, here he says, subhanAllah, beautifully. قَالَ, فَتَاجِرُوا أَيُّهَا الْمُفْلِسُونَ. It says, all you who are bankrupt, all you who are poor, start selling. If you don't have it, start selling. Start giving to Allah Azza wa Jal to get things back. فَتَاجِرُوا أَيُّهَا الْمُفْلِسُونَ. If we are bankrupt, here is the way to become rich. قَالَ, وَيَا مَنْ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى هَذَا الثَّمَنِ. He says, if you cannot afford this type of transaction, this type of price, there's another one that you can give. So give the following. And he said, التَّائِبُونَ الْعَابِدُونَ الْحَامِدُونَ السَّائِحُونَ الرَّاكِعُونَ. He said, التَّائِبُونَ, those who repent. He wants to tell you what. He says, there's a lesser thing that you can do. If this seems too difficult at this moment, what is the thing that you can do to be also involved, engaged, part of that commerce, blessed commerce with Allah Azza wa Jal? In that business with Allah Azza wa Jal, what else can you do? He says, التَّائِبُونَ, those who repent. الْعَابِدُونَ, the worshippers of Allah. الْحَامِدُونَ, those who are grateful and thankful. السَّائِحُونَ, and السَّائِحُونَ could mean the people of jihad or the people of fasting or the people who contemplate Allah's attributes or those who reflect on Allah Azza wa Jal in general or those who travel for Allah's sake. All of that could be included in as-sa'ihun. Al-raki'un, as-sajidun, those who are involved in ruku' and sujood, who command what is good and speak out against evil, and those who observe Allah's rules and commands, he says, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and give good news to the good news to the believers. And he also said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. O you who have iman, shall I not guide you and tell you about a commerce, about a business that will save you from a great torment? You will believe in Allah and His Messenger, and you strive or engage in jihad for the sake of Allah with your money and with yourselves. This is best for you if you but know. So this is a tijara. So everybody has to be a tajir. Everybody has to be a businessman or a businesswoman. But the merchandise here is what? It's your own existence in life. It's the hours of your day. It's the health that Allah had given you. It's the gifts and talents that Allah had gifted you. All of you, you're selling. So sell as long as you have. Because there's going to come a time when you're not going to have. You're healthy now, give to Allah Azza wa Jal before you're sick. There's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to bend in ruku' and fall to the ground in sujood. You won't be able to. You won't be able to stand in salah. Fast before you cannot fast anymore. You have money, give sadaqah. Maybe tomorrow you won't have any. So sell some of your money to Allah before you run out. You're able to learn before you can't. You won't be able to memorize. You won't be able to put things together as you age. So if you can learn, learn now. So use what Allah had given you before you lose it, as long as you have that chance. قَالَ وَالْمَقْصُودُ أَنَّ الذُّنُوبَ تُنْسِي الْعَبْدَ حَظَّهُ مِنْ هَذِهِ التِّجَارَةِ الرَّابِحَةِ. He says, what we want to say is that sins will deprive you of understanding and wanting this type of commerce. You will live for this world and die for this world, and you will have no idea that this type of transaction with Allah exists. And even when you hear about it, you're just too weak and unmotivated to pursue it. So that is the greatest loss that he is talking about. And he says, وَكَفَى بِذَلِكَ عُقُوبًا. And this is a great punishment. This is a great punishment. Now, the following one, and this is a short one, so I'll kind of insert it here before we take questions. He says, from the punishment, he's saying that what sins will do is that it will remove current ni'mas and will stop incoming ones. So you have ni'mas that are you enjoying at this moment, and you have ones that you're hoping to come your way. So he's saying what it will do is that it will take away what you have and block what you don't have from coming to you. قَالَ فَإِنَّ نِعَمَ اللَّهِ مَا حُفِظَ مَوْجُودُهَا بِمِثْلِ طَاعَتِهِ وَلَسْتُجْلِبَ مَفْقُودُهَا بِمِثْلِ طَاعَتِهِ فَإِنَّ مَا عِنْدَهُ لَا يُنَالُ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. You should frame this. Right? This should be really framed. He says, the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal are not preserved with something better than obeying Him. And what you are missing from Allah's blessings, they're not going to be brought to you. You're not going to win that with something better than obeying Him. Because what is with Allah Azza wa Jal cannot be attained except through obeying Him. Right? So meaning, if you have a ni'mah at this moment and you want to keep it, what do? You obey Allah. It stays. Disobey Allah, what happens to it? It goes away. It goes away. You lose it. Or you want something from Allah. Hasn't happened yet. And it's a ni'mah. How do you get it? By pleasing Allah. Hisla'a. If you disobey Him, it goes away. Right? Because you're not going to get something that Allah has by disobeying Him. Right? He says, وَقَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا وَآفَةً. He says Allah had made or had kind of endowed everything with a cause, something that brings it, and something that kills it, something that stops it, right? سَبَبًا يَجْلِبُهُ آفَةً تُبْطِلُهُ, a cause that will bring it and something that will kill it. So Allah Azza wa Jal had made this obedience one of the main things that will bring the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the things that kill Allah's blessings are His disobedience, right? Just like a disease, like an illness, something that you insert and it dies, right? فَإِذَا أَرَادَ حِفْظَ نِعْمَتِهِ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ, if Allah wants to preserve this ni'mah, keep it, give it to you, He would strengthen you to obey Him, right? And if Allah wants that to go away, He will let go of you. So you will disobey Him and then that ni'mah will go away. قَالَ وَمِنَ الْعَجَبِ, and this is kind of beautiful. وَمِنَ الْعَجَبِ, it says, and it's ironic, that each person knows this because he has seen it and others around him have seen it and he had heard about it of people who lost Allah's blessings because of their sins. And he continues to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla as if he is the exception to that rule. This is beautiful, by the way. You understand what he's saying? He says, and what is ironic is that if you ask anyone, just them, do you know that if someone disobeys the Creator and goes against him and rebels against him, that they get destroyed and that the blessings that they have just go away? He says, yes, I've seen it. I've seen so-and-so who used to trade and take interest or oppress people, he lost it all. And this person who used to kill, and eventually he was killed. I saw this person who used to lie and he was exposed, disgraced. Seen it. Have you not seen it? Have you not seen it in the world around you? Right? So he says, this person has seen it. People around him that he knows have seen it with their own eyes. And also all of them have heard stories about nations and about people who were punished like this. So we understand that this is a common law that Allah had established. And yet he continues to disobey Allah as if he is the exception to that rule. It's going to happen to everybody but me. Right? And that's human blindness. Everybody can get sick but me. Everybody can get a ticket but not me. Until it happens to you. And then when it happens to you, how come? Right? How come could this happen to me? Because you're supposed in your mind to be the exception. Right? He's saying this is very ironic about humanity. He advised them, Allah shows them consequences. He says, yes, it's true. But everybody else, but not me. I'm special. So he's saying that's very ironic. It's as if this law applies to everybody else but not him and will reach everybody else but not him. So he says, what ignorance is greater than this and what injustice is to the self is greater than that. He says, eventually the hukum, the decision is up to Allah Azza wa Jal. So humans, at least if most of humanity are foolish, you should decide not to be among the foolish. Right. So let me know, inshallah, if you have questions. Barakallahu feek. Yeah, fadl. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. La ba'as, inshallah. We'll do that, inshallah, when we conclude. Jazakallah khair. We'll do dua, inshallah. Barakallah feek.
The second question is, Shaykh Humayun mentioned that when people are the diseases of the heart, can these diseases be healed by sitting here, listening,
Now, so he said, we've talked about the diseases of the heart. Can the diseases be healed by sitting in a lecture like this one, or in a series like this one, or do we need to go into more practice? So this is, of course, this is a taste, right? But this is not everything. And you're supposed to take whatever you learn here and elsewhere, inshallah, azza wa jal, and put it into practice. So there's greater commitment to Allah azza wa jal throughout the day and throughout the night. And when that happens, you'll be more aware of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and where we fall short, what we have in us that Allah loves and perhaps dislikes, and be motivated, inshallah, as you gain more knowledge to understand if you have something that Allah hates, how to fix it. So to gain that awareness and to gain that motivation, of course, a lecture, or especially a continuous one, is necessary on the path of learning and knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, but it doesn't stop there. So you have to take it and then say to yourself, if I've learned this week, inshallah, how should my life change because of it? How should it improve because of it? I've learned something, I should be better, because otherwise I'll be questioned. Now you know, why did you not apply what you have learned? So take it and be better because of it. And try to incorporate, to include into your day, even small things, but small things that can be maintained. And you can build on them, inshallah, gradually from week to week and month to month until you, inshallah, change to the better. Of course. Naam, jazakallah khair. It's a good question to kind of touches on what he was saying. How do we increase daily awareness? So you may come to Jum'ah, the khutbah, or you may come to a class, and then you learn and you may feel, as he said, the urgency or the need to change, or you be motivated, or your iman increases. But of course, once you exit into the world, kind of you start forgetting almost immediately, and you kind of go back into your old habits and your own routine. So as you're listening to any khutbah, or as you're listening to any class or lecture, try to take from it something that could be part of that daily routine. So for some khutbas and some du'as, you could say it could be some khutbas or some lessons, it could be a particular dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, or a particular du'a, or better salah, or more fasting. You will hear something that will inspire you. So if you're going to say, for instance, okay, I'm going to start tomorrow, how will I start tomorrow? So can I add something to my routine tomorrow that's going to be different, that can remind me, and it can continue into Sunday and then Monday and so on till next Friday? So it could be one extra dua, or 5 minutes of extra dua that you do, or 5 minutes of extra dhikr that you do, or more attention to your salah. You come to the masjid one more time during the week. You focus more in the salah, but do one thing extra. And if you manage to do that one thing extra and you make it a staple in your life, it's just not going to do once and leave it, but it's regular. When it's regular and it stays, your awareness will increase. And keep adding to it. And the more that you add, the better, inshallah, that you be. So we can say, I mean, so do we say the adhkar? Do we say the adhkar after the salah? Let's say that. You may say no. I say pick one of them. Doesn't matter which one, but pick one of them and start saying it. Just one, because it's easy to do one. Just pick one. If you say, yeah, I do one, he says, well, make it two. And increase that. Right? And gradually, inshallah, you'll say all of them. And then it will be the adhkar of morning and evening, and so on and so on. So that's what I'm aiming at, inshallah. I wanted to add something.
Some صحيح.
Na'am. So you're saying, you know, I want something that will change my mentality or keep me focused on a particular understanding of the world versus another. And my answer is, it's the same thing. But even the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, because you have this now in your head. I'm supposed to think this way and not that way. What's going to remind you of it? Now, you're not going to remind yourself today, I'm supposed to focus on the akhirah instead of the dunya. And you say that again tomorrow, and they say that tomorrow. That's not going to remind you. It's not going to be forceful. But if you say, let's say for instance, each day with intention, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. And you understand what you're saying. It'll bring you into that mode. The mode of wanting Allah more than this world. Kind of stabilizing the self and it being satisfied with Allah Azza wa Jal. So it kind of recenters you. And when it recenters you and you remember what you have learned, you can kind of put it in the day. So you need something to bring you back. And that thing is not secret. It's not a secret at all. It's more Quran or more dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal or more dua, and it brings you back. And then you forget, and then it brings you back, and then you forget, and it brings you back. And that's how it goes. No. Tafadhal. Read in the Quran. Jazakallah. Reading the Quran and more and more of it. Jazakallah. Tafsir too. Oh, you have a question. Tafadhal.
It's a very dangerous question.
Okay. That was inshallah.
Why did Allah make us, you know, there's a certain pattern for humans, they tend to think of themselves, like, as you were saying, they talk egotistical, thinking they're special, but they don't do any wrong. Like, this pattern in humanity, why would we make this way? I know it's a test, but this test is very difficult, you know, it's a very difficult test.
No. So, I mean, the question here is, why did Allah Azza wa Jal made the test difficult? So we are so egotistical and selfish and self-centered, right, that it's hard to escape that test. Now, you could say to yourself, what made it hard? And what made it hard? Is it that Allah Azza wa Jal had made it hard, or that Allah Azza wa Jal had given us enough signs and ways to fight it, that it's actually not difficult, but it's us who make the choice and make it difficult for ourselves. If you think about it, in one sense, it's so easy to get into Jannah. I understand that Jannah is precious and you need to sacrifice, but at the same time, if you think about it in terms of that Arabian nomad who came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, what do I have to do? And he says, 5 daily prayers, fast Ramadan, give zakah, do this. If I do this, we'll enter Jannah. He said, yes. He says, that's it. I'm not going to do anything else. He says, he'll enter Jannah if he does that. You see how kind of easy in a sense it is. So what makes it difficult, is that we listen to someone else. So we listen to the shaitan and makes false promises and we believe those promises. We follow him. But if you just simply listen to Allah Azza wa Jal, there will be nothing easier than going to Jannah, because Allah will tell you, just give me yourself and go to Jannah. And you say, yeah, that's such an easy choice to make. Of course, I'll give you all of me because he gave it all. So take it and you'll go to Jannah. But the problem is that we make ourselves weak and the test is difficult because we just make it difficult. No, of course, وخلق الإنسان ضعيفا. Yes. Definitely. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. So I hope that kind of answers. It's a pattern, but that pattern is there because we have the shaitan and we listen to the shaitan. That's it. That's it. Absolutely. نعم.
And then he said he chose the deeds and
definitely, definitely. I mean, we should always keep in mind that it's the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but Allah wants that movement
yes.
on humanity's part that says, I'm going to give Allah Azza wa Jalla something. And he says, since you've given it, my mercy is going to get you into Jannah as well. We do have some other questions, inshallah. I'm aware of them. So inshallah, allow me to answer those, inshallah, next week, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. So I have them here, inshallah. Get to them, inshallah, next week. Anyone who has here, just quick question. Quick question. But I didn't understand the first part of the question.
The last topic, we talked about how ni'mas are taken and given to people.
That's right. So is answering dua has the same kind of pattern as ni'mas?
Yes.
So Allah could answer dua or reject dua based on the sins? Right. So, I mean, no matter how disobedient a person may be, even a disbeliever, there's always a chance that Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept their dua. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is merciful with everybody. So even the disbelievers, when they make dua, we have that documented in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept some of their supplication and some of their dua. But yes, a person who's closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla is more likely to have his dua accepted. Versus somebody who's strayed away from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which if you even think about it, they may not even have the willingness to pray. But even when they do it, they may not have the humility, right, needed for that dua. So, yes, committing a sin will decrease, not eliminate, but decrease the chance of the acceptance of dua. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dhakara, al-rajul ash'atha akhfar, يمد يديه إلى السماء ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام فإنه يستجاب له. He mentioned a person who is destitute, disheveled in the desert, and he is raising his hand asking, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, but his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothes are haram. How will Allah answer his dua? So it could block, but it does not eliminate completely. Okay, well, inshallah, we'll stop here, بإذن الله عز وجل. I'll answer your remaining questions next week, بإذن الله. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك الحمد لله. Oh, and I forgot about your dua. I forgot about your dua, inshallah. So ask Allah رب العالمين, as they're setting, ask Allah رب العالمين أرحم الراحمين to forgive us and forgive our parents and spouses and children. Ask Allah عز وجل to make us of the people of Jannah, not of the people of hellfire. Ask Him سبحانه وتعالى to make us of the people of Sakina, people of Tumaknina, of the people of Rida, and the people who cleanse themselves from their own illnesses, understand the reality of this world and the hereafter, and make the proper transaction to be in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen, ya رب العالمين.